We're about halfway through the Mike McFeely Show on this Friday, wonderful Friday afternoon on the mighty 790 KFGO. I got some numbers before we get to our next guest. I've got some numbers from Gene Taylor again during the break. I'm sorry to be bothering you, Gene, but people are asking questions about NDSU's budget and who pays for the medical costs and of the athletes and all these things. And I had read a text message on air that somebody said, well, no matter what, it's the taxpayers who foot the bill for all this stuff. And I came to NDSU's defense and every other college's defense as well, by the way, and said, no. I mean, there is some appropriated money from the state legislature that's involved, yes, but much of it comes from, ticket sales and concessions and marketing dollars and all of those things. Gene actually texted me and said, Mike, you can tell your listeners we only get $1 million from appropriated dollars. That would be the money coming from the state legislature out of our $17.5 million budget. So only $1 million comes from the state legislature to NDSU athletics in NDSU's $17.5 million budget. Gene goes on to say we generate 51% of our budget from external dollars. Of the 49%, the other 49% comes from student fees, the appropriated dollars, and institutional support. And so 51% is generated internally by NDSU Athletics. That's where they get the money. 49% comes from student fees, appropriated dollars, and institutional supports. Now, when I say external dollars, you're talking ticket sales, which is why it's important the football team does well. You're talking concession money, which is why it's important the football team does well. Talking marketing dollars, in other words, advertising, all the advertisements you hear during a Bison football game or during a Bison radio broadcast. That's all marketing dollars that supporters of NDSU pay. All of that money stays within the department to help pay salaries and everything else that goes with being a college athletic program. And so when text message people and callers and everybody else say that, well, it's the taxpayers that always end up footing the bill. Well, no, it's not. It's $1 million a year come from the state legislature. That would be your tax dollars. Yes, most everything else they generate themselves or they get from student fees or whatever else. And so that was my point in saying that it's not like the entire NDSU athletic budget comes right out of your pocket, listeners. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. So you can dislike college athletics all you want. You can dislike NDSU or UND or Minnesota or Morehead State all you want. But the fact is many of the dollars used by the athletic department at NDSU or UND are generated by the athletic department. Dr. Thomas Ambrosio, speaking of NDSU, is a regular guest on the Mike McFeely Show. Usually whenever there's a flare-up somewhere in the world, Dr. Ambrosio joins us, and he is back in the KFGO studio as I am at U Motors. I need to talk about Ukraine because this thing is it's getting ugly, and it might be getting even uglier. So, Dr. Ambrosio, thanks for stopping by the studio. Good to talk with you again.
Glad to be here. Ukraine, U Motors, it seems to go together.
they both start with U, and probably that's where the similarities end. There have been a lot of things happening the last couple of days when it comes to Ukraine, and the best as I can tell, none of them are good, including, we'll just start with today and work backwards. Today, pro-Russian forces captured some military observers, which, of course, the Obama administration is condemning and saying you better knock that off. What does this mean? Are we another step closer to getting into a war here, Dr. Ambrosio?
Well, it's actually really unclear right now. What we've seen in the last week or so has been a steady increase in tensions. You have another supposedly scheduled military exercise on the border with Ukraine, which, of course, is not scheduled and probably very well might not be an exercise, but rather the real thing. So you're starting to see this ramp up. You're seeing the Ukrainian forces beginning to send some troops into eastern Ukraine in order to try to take back control of different towns and cities from Russian separatists. These are people who are ethnic Russians who want to join Russia. They are either doing this on their own, but most likely doing it at the behest or at the actual direction of Russian forces from the Russian Federation itself. So as they're going in, you're starting to see this increase in rhetoric from Moscow. And the rhetoric is, we have a right to defend Russian interests, as well as Russian speakers inside Ukraine. And they just recently, it was last night, I saw them refer to Article 51 of the UN Charter, which is not actually very obscure. It's actually one of the more important articles, which says the right to self-defense. So we can use force to defend ourselves. Though, interestingly enough, Ukraine is a separate country, which the Russians don't seem to really accept so much.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you is, wait a second here. We're not talking about Russian land, you know, Russia proper here. We're talking about Russian-speaking people in a completely separate country. So with Russia using the term, we can protect Russian interests, that's a whole different thing than we can protect Russia.
Right, exactly. And you're starting, and you've seen over the course of, I mean, this goes back to, for a while, but especially over the last couple of weeks, you're starting to see this conflation of Russia and Russians, in which the Russian government, the Kremlin, Russia Federation, is saying that it is going to protect Russians, just as they did. And this was an important quote from last couple of days, just as they did in Georgia. And when they went into Georgia to detach South Ossetia and Abkhazia from the Republic of Georgia. And these are not Russian citizens. In fact, they're not even Russian speakers, per se. But they're seen as pro-Russian. So we may be gearing up for something much more serious over the next couple of days.
And could that serious... If Ukraine is moving troops over to that area, they're... You know, as you said, they're being called exercises or whatever phony name you want to put on them. They're getting ready to fight, right? I mean, they're getting ready to either take an offensive action or they're expecting to have to do some defensive action here with Russian troops, correct?
Right. And in fact, the Ukrainian government's really in a bind here because it has two options. One is to basically let these pro-Russian forces take over more and more towns and solidify their control, which means they essentially they become Russia anyway. Or they go in and try to stop them or reverse this move, and then that's seen as a provocation by Russia, which then Russia will use as an excuse to go in. So Ukraine itself is in a real serious bind here. And I'm not sure how it's going to be resolved. You've had a number of deaths already. You're starting to see the pro-Russian forces becoming a little bit more active and belligerent. They just released a American reporter, but they had captured him for a couple of days, and they're capturing other people and holding him in detention. So you're starting to see this ramping up of tensions on both sides of the border amongst the Russians in Ukraine, but also amongst Russia itself.
I saw a headline in USA Today a couple of days ago that really had me perk up and go, oh boy. And I'll read you the headline and part of the story here and get your response to it. The headline says, Pentagon deploying troops to thwart Russia. Dateline Washington, D.C. The Pentagon is sending about 600 troops to Eastern Europe in response to Russia's incursion into Ukraine, Rear Admiral John Kirby announced Tuesday. They're going to send some U.S. troops into Poland, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. If we're moving, are we moving troops around now to kind of try to tell Putin, hey, knock it off? And if we do that, are we ready to get into a fight with Russia with their troops in Eastern Europe?
Well,
this is getting scary is what I'm saying.
I mean, we're not seeing massive troop movements. So I think what we're seeing with these 600 troops, and we're talking about four different countries and a lot of territory, these are really designed for two things. One is to say to Russia, look, you have to stay out of these areas. So it is directed towards Moscow, and essentially it's a tripwire in the sense that these troops wouldn't be able to do anything anyway if the Russians went in. It's just that if you go in, you're going to be killing Americans, and that will necessitate a response from us. But I think mostly what those forces are designed to do is really to reassure the Poles, the Lithuanians, the Estonians, and the Latvians to say, we've got your back. That this kind of signpost we've had, which says, you know, NATO territory, keep out, directed at Russia, we really mean that. So it's really more, I think, of a sign to come in from us to our NATO allies than it is directed towards Russia, though it, of course, has that impact as well.
Dr. Thomas Ambrosio, political science professor at North Dakota State. He is our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. Mike McFeely Show rolls on this Friday afternoon from U Motors in Fargo. Another couple of hours until they close up shop for the day here. So stop on out to U Motors and check out all of their motorcycles and scooters and ATVs and side-by-sides and boats and pontoons and everything else they have here at U Motors. We'll be visiting with Cale Arneson again after the top of the hour at 4:05. We'll kind of recap everything we've talked about today. But what a great showroom. What a great business this is just off of I-29 here south of the Kelly Inn in Fargo. NDSU professor Thomas Ambrosio, our guest. He is a political science guy. We're talking about Ukraine and all of the messy situation and, I think, elevation of tensions. And the doctor said that as well, of course, that's happened in the past couple of days. I'm going to take a phone call here for the doctor. Wade in Fargo wants to talk about or has a question about Ukraine. Go ahead, Wade. Hello.
Yeah, this is Lee.
Oh, Lee, go ahead, Lee. Sorry.
Yeah, I questioned the other countries a few years back. Didn't they sign on with NATO?
Ukraine is not a member of NATO.
No, I know Ukraine is, but like Lithuania.
Yes, they
Poland,
are. Yes, they are. They are official NATO members.
Right. So my question is how come we're not sending in NATO troops?
There really are no NATO troops. There's just troops from the individual countries. And ultimately,
right,
NATO is the United States. The Europeans don't really have much that they could actually do. Their militaries are quite small. And even a small operation like Libya in 2011 overstretched them, even though it's as far from their country as, you know, the Caribbean is for the United States in many ways. So, it's ultimately, when we talk about NATO, we're really talking about the United States. And if anything did happen, which I can't imagine Russia would be that aggressive or in many ways dumb to go into those territories, it would be America that would have to do all the heavy lifting. The Europeans would not be able to contribute almost or very, very little.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, you know, that we have to be the police dog of the world, you know, but it's kind of sad that it comes down to that.
Well, a part of it has to do with the fact that in some ways Europeans feel like they're living in a world that's kind of post-conflict. And a situation like Ukraine brings them to a different world, and they have problems adjusting to it. Europe's population is larger than ours. Their economy is larger than ours, if you talk about the European Union. And yet their armed forces are almost nothing compared to ours.
Going to take another phone call for you, Doctor, from Norlin in Euland, Minnesota. Go ahead, Norlin. You're on KFGL.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, that last comment that NATO is the USA. We had a really spirited discussion up here at Euland the other day, and I said, there wouldn't be any NATO one for the USA. Why not just call it NUSA instead of NATO? The rest ain't going to do anything anyway. I'll hear your comments.
Yeah, there's an old saying that NATO's really served three purposes. To keep the Russians out, the Germans down, and the Americans in. And that, I think, it still holds in many ways. And the last part is important. NATO is really a way to get American commitment into Europe. And, of course, now we want to have this pivot to Asia. And, in fact, President Obama is in Asia, trying to kind of garner support both at home and abroad for America to focus more on Asian issues. And then he's kind of being pulled back to the Middle East by 2011, the Arab uprisings, and pulled now back to Europe and Eastern Europe by Russia's intervention in Ukraine.
NATO seems so 1974. It just seems so. It just seems so Cold War. I even in some ways, NATO had not been on my mind for 30 years, or it just doesn't seem like something that we're going to talk about in 2014. Only have about a minute and a half left, Doctor. So what are we doing about Ukraine and about Russia? What's Obama going to do now, anything?
I don't think we're going to do a whole lot, ultimately. We might. There's supposedly some talk about sanctions, and we're discussing some other issues. But ultimately, this is Russia's region, and Russia is far more committed than we are to the survival of Ukraine.
Doctor, as always, thank you. Great stuff. You lend so much credibility and so much information and knowledge. We always love to have you in. So come back anytime. And we still need to have you host my show. I'm going to take some summer vacation.
Sounds good.
We need to have you sit in that chair and host the show, okay?
Great. Thank you.
You bet. Dr. Thomas Ambrosio, North Dakota State. He's my go-to guy. Makes me look a lot smarter because he is a lot smarter than I am. So we like to talk with him about foreign affairs. And they just never seem to go away. They're always going to be there because we are who we are, the mighty United States of America. And everybody always kind of wants a piece of us around the globe.